You just heard an old man. You're fixing to hear an older man. The elders have asked me to share some thoughts on the Lord's Supper today. At age 90, it gives me joy to be asked. And I appreciate the elders giving me the opportunity and the congregation listening. I've been taking the communion now 74 years. When I began at 16 years of age, I had little understanding of it. But over the years, I've gained some insight. And in 2002, I found some material on the subject that moved me spiritually and that I shared here that Richard mentioned. And again today, I'm going to be sharing essentially the same thing, a little abbreviated. There are three scriptures, let me see, that I have here. The first scripture, Jesus tells us that life is predicated on eating his flesh and drinking his blood. I was hoping we had all three of them at the same time, but looked like, can you put the Luke scripture up too now? Hopefully everybody read that. Luke says, when one partakes of the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper, that is, in symbols, he is making a spiritual reality of what Jesus declared, if you read it there in John 6. In the third scripture, and that put that up there, time-wise, this is probably 20 years after the resurrection. And we see that the celebration of the Lord's Supper had become the reason the saints came together. I guess in this era, it has become somewhat incidental to what we call the preaching. But in much of the religious world, this day called Easter Sunday is the only day the supper is celebrated. And, you know, for those who might wonder, the day Easter is determined sort of unusual. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. And if you can figure that out, that's unusual in some ways. And it originally was a pagan holiday. So what is this supper all about? It is not some invisible spiritual make-believe. I think Richard talked about that, but a real meal with God. And in Luke 22, 29 and 30, he says, I confer on you a kingdom so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom in a new covenant relationship. This heist of symbols conveys what it symbolizes. Christ is present in his gathered body here, blessing us with all spiritual blessings. My life is united with his, like a vine in its branches. My hunger for God like John says, is being satisfied as I eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Now, here's a mystery beyond my understanding. It is the point of contact with that which I can't totally grasp. The whole plan of redemption, all that is meant by in Christ, is in this meal. We are caught up in an infinite friendship with God. Here I can know all the promises spoken by God are assured. That is, the guilt, power, and penalty of sin removed from my life. For God's people, those born anew into a kingdom that cannot be shaken, we seek to worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Knowing that our God is a consuming fire, we therefore come together every first day to remember that our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, has been offered for all and for all time. His blood was shed some 2,000 years ago and a new covenant promise made. To all who would trust him, he promised to forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more. We break bread together to remember that death until he comes again in blazing fire to give us a new body in the new heaven and the new earth. When I contemplate these words that I have gleaned from New Testament writings, and I could have put them down, but in interest of time, I realize what the writer of the song, "How Great Thou Art," meant when he wrote this: "And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Nothing to me is more comforting, joyful, and assuring than to be with the saints of like mind each Lord's Day to celebrate such a great salvation together." And would you put up the next one? Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 10:14-17 about unity, and you can read it, but notice his emphasis there is on the unity of his people in this supper. And as being, I think Richard mentioned this, as the body of Christ. We declare when we eat together, and that's one of the things that a meal like this was to that day and time, that we are all one in Christ. As an older brother, I appeal to the body here that we pray often for unity and peace, because it is something that is always very fragile. And the next one, scripture in John 17, Jesus prayed, I think, in impassioned love. It's the only real prayer that we have. Excuse me. It's the only prayer that we have recorded of Jesus. And he prays in impassioned love, the desire that his followers be united in their love for one another so that God would be glorified. and that people would see us in that way, see who we are. And now I want to say something that I feel deeply about. Here in the central body exists a love between members that is a model for any community of believers. It's a love and unity in my 74 years in Christ that has not been equaled. Our people come from all walks of life and colors. Even among the Joneses, there are all colors that I enjoy fellowship with. Nothing like this body exists in the city, and I venture to say probably in the world. I have 5 children, 8 grandchildren, 5 great-grands here at Central. Also, there are a number here who are as close to me, I think, as these children and grandchildren, because my wife and I had the joy of sharing the gospel with them. Others are so very dear because of the joy we have in the fellowship together. It would pain me deeply to the point of many tears if we lost this love and unity. And as we join together in this communion of hearts, I beseech and admonish that we concentrate on the Holy Spirit's admonition that has become close to me in Galatians 5:6, when he said, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Finally, back in 2003, I had this same opportunity to speak on the Lord's Supper, and I cited, and this is what everybody remembers, and I cited a Time magazine survey which asked the question of people, "What are the words you most want to hear from someone of importance to you?" The answers were, number one is pretty obvious, is "I love you" or "I'm proud of you." And the second says, "I forgive you." But the last one you might not have thought about. He says, it's the most that you want to hear, and that is, "Come to supper." That is what our Savior and God is saying to us as we share this meal.